Kiddos, go find Mr. Tim. We are going to be in Psalm chapter 1 today. That's where we're going to rest. And we are talking about membership. We've been talking about membership for quite a while now. Some of you are probably tired of hearing about it. But today is the last sermon on it. Next week we'll be doing actually two different things. We'll be doing communion and then having a membership opportunity for you to renew your membership or to join up with our church. And I'll talk more about that at the end of the service. But we've talked about membership in lots of different ways, but the first and foremost and most important way that we want you to understand about membership is we want you to know that you are a member of God's family. And what that means is this, that you recognize that you are a sinner and that you need God's grace and mercy to cover you, and that you have accepted Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection as a payment for your sins, and believe that he was raised from the dead to give you hope of salvation. And when you can place your faith and hope in that, then you are guaranteed eternal life. But it doesn't stop there. Then the next thing that we ask based on Scripture is that you follow in believer's baptism. That is the first step of obedience. And personally, and really for all of us, if we can't do that, then it's going to be really difficult later on to do the big things that God's going to ask us to do that he's prepared you to do. And so we ask that you know that you have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, that you have been fully immersed through believer's baptism before we can really go any further. Now, for some of you, next week's not going to be a big deal. You're going to come in, do communion, and you're going to look at the membership thing and say, I'm not really interested. And that's okay. If you are not interested in being a member of our church, it does not mean you cannot be here to worship. It does not mean you can't go and do things. We want you to be here. All we are asking is that if you want to serve here and really bite in and do something great with our church for the Lord, that we ask that you abide by the things that we're going to ask our members to abide by. Now, the things that we've talked about the last 4 weeks, and then today will be our fifth week, is nothing that we just kind of drummed up on our own accord and preferences that we have. These are scriptural principles that we believe all believers should be already living by. So really, this is not anything new or abnormally to ask of you. It's things you should already be doing. And so these are the five tenets that we've talked about. Obviously, the first one is this: I will actively participate in the activities of our church. We just want you to be here. Get involved, not just on Sunday mornings, not just in your go group, and not just on Wednesday nights, but be a part of all the things that are going on. We always are planning stuff. We're always doing things. I mean, we've got a humongous Easter egg hunt coming up at Coleman's Tree Farm in a couple of weeks. We can use hands. Lots of volunteers. That's a lot to do. So there's lots of opportunities to get involved and be a part, and we want to encourage you to do that. The second thing was this: I will live generously by giving of my time, talent, and treasure. This is the sermon that most of us don't like because it talks about bring your money to the church. It's not just about your money. We want your time. You guys have plenty of time, extra time, right, to give to the church, to help volunteer and be a part of what's going on here. We want your talent. God, when he created you to be able to do something. He created you with specific talents and abilities that are hidden and locked in deep inside, and we want to help you find out what those things are and do them. But we want you to give of your time, your talent, and then obviously of your treasure. The church has to have money to operate. That's what makes the world go around, and so does the church. Then thirdly, we talked about I will use my spiritual gifts to serve the church and the world. This one's a little bit trickier. The other one, the time, talent, and treasure, is kind of our external things. This one talks about our internal. I said just a second ago that God created us with specific talents and abilities, but he's also given you spiritual gifts. When you were created, he takes these spiritual gifts and kind of embeds them into your life and your spiritual DNA. And as you begin to focus on him and you have the proper focus of who he is and who you are in him and what he wants from you, he begins to unlock these things and allows you to really serve not just your church, but your community and him and the world as a whole. Because we all have these things that are built deep inside of us. Scripture shows us all through of people that were in their mind nothing, and God makes them something big because that's what he wants to do with all of us. All of us. Last week we hit a hard one. Last week was tough. It's a hard message. It's hard to preach. It's hard to hear. And it's hard to do. But I will strive to live a holy life. Now, we could have put a lot of different things in there instead of strive. We could have said, I will try to live a holy life, or I will attempt, or I will practice. We put strive on purpose. Strive is one of those action, get after it, leave nothing behind, expend all your, go get it type of words. I will strive. It's more than just I'll try. No. I'm going to strive. Every ounce of energy that I have, every portion of my mental capacity that I can put into it, every bit of my heart, I'm going to strive to make sure that I'm living a holy life. And not how I define holy life, but how Scripture defines holy life. And again, that one's tough. That one's hard. That one steps on our toes a lot and kind of kicks us in the teeth a little bit, because it really steps on what we want to do and how we want to live life, and yet we still want the goodness of God. And those don't mix. It must be that we totally deny ourselves and live holy for a holy God. So this week's going to seem like it's a repeat of last week, but it's not. It's absolutely not. And here's this week's major thought. It's a proper focus replaces unhealthy relationships with healthy relationships. A proper focus, remember, this is our focus of Scripture, a focus of who God is, who we are in Him, what He wants to do of us. A proper focus takes these unhealthy relationships that are in our life. These are the ones that drag us away from spiritual holiness. These are the ones that keep us out of church. These are the ones that just keep us going in the wrong direction as the world wants us to go. And we replace those unhealthy relationships with healthy relationships. And these relationships that I'm referring to are some of our work relationships, people that we hang out with work, because that's work life and spiritual life. And what I want us to do, and what Scripture wants us to do, and what our church wants us to do, is get to the place where my spiritual life is the same over here as it is over here. There shouldn't be, I have this shirt that I put on when I go to work, I have this shirt that I put on when I go play, I have this shirt when I put on when I go to church. It should be the same shirt that you're wearing wherever you go. And so part of our responsibility is in these work relationships is to replace the ones that are toxic, the ones that are dragging us away from scripture principles, the ones that are holding us back from truly living the way that we're supposed to be living, replacing those with wholesome, holy, healthy relationships. And it's not just at work. We have neighbors. We have friends that we've always been around, that we just tolerate their stuff because they're lifelong friends. And yet you know as well as I do that those friends that we hang out with aren't doing anything for your spiritual well-being. And so we're going to look in Scripture today to where you don't feel like it's just me as your pastor saying, get rid of those guys and come over here and be friends with all the Christians. That's not from me. Scripture clearly teaches us that we are to take these unhealthy relationships, figure out who they are, what they are, and replace them with healthy, godly relationships. And again, that's going to be hard for a lot of us, because a lot of times we think it's only people. It's not just people. Some of our habits that we have a relationship with are unhealthy. And we need to replace those unhealthy habits, that relationship, with a good, healthy relationship with a good, healthy habit. Maybe it's the things we watch on TV. Maybe it's the places that we go. Maybe it's the things that we do. The reality is, folks, we have lots of unhealthy relationships in our physical life that do not aid us or help us or encourage us in our spiritual life. And all we're doing, if you want to be a member at our church, all we're asking is that you work very hard at recognizing those relationships that are going to tear you down and bring a bad name to Christ, and replace them with good relationships that are going to encourage Christ. Now, some of you may be sitting here thinking, sweet, I can get rid of my husband, finally. I can get rid of my wife because she's unhealthy for me. And I know that sounds funny, but I'm dead serious. That is not God's plan for a marriage. God's plan for a marriage, if it's unhealthy, is to seek the help you need to make it healthy. That's God's plan. We can talk about all this other stuff of how He helps us and how He kind of fixes things. God's plan is if you enter into a relationship in a covenant marriage that you said before God, I'm going to honor this, and that's what He expects you to keep. And listen, I get that it's hard work. Been married 17 years, and it's hard. It's work. And we want everything to be hunky-dory and happy, and it's not that way, because you got to work at it. Well, when you get in a pinch, I know a guy that does really well was sitting down with you, walking with you through some things, if you're willing to listen, and help you get to the other side, to go from an unhealthy relationship to a healthy relationship. I know a guy. He's pretty good. And you might be surprised when you sit down with him how much he might blow you away with the things that he can read through you and help you if you're willing. Big difference. All of these things rely on us making the hard choice. Last week, we talked about holy living. That's hard choices. You can say it's easy all you want, but for some of us and most of us, it's hard. Because we battle our pride, we battle our selfishness. And this is going to be a hard one for some of you as well. Getting away from unhealthy relationships, replacing them with healthy ones. So let's look at what Scripture has to say, because Scripture has a lot to say about it. But before we get there, you know I love to tell stories on myself, so I got another one for you. I did pretty good, for the most part, with the friends that I kept. I'd grown up in church, so I kind of stayed clear of the party scene and the people that did all those things. And, you know, I had my guys, my friends that I hung out with. And I had a friend that I grew up all the way through elementary school, all the way through middle school. And then when we got to high school, he started kind of going in a different direction that I knew was contrary to what I wanted to go. And so he went his way, I went my way. That was painful for me, but it was healthy for me. And it was, I didn't even know about this sermon, so it's not like I was being all spiritual. It's just the way that the world went. So God replaced that friendship with another friendship. His name was Jeremy. Jeremy was at Meadowbrook, where I grew up, where I met Sally. And we just had a good bond and a good friendship. In fact, my whole youth group was a good bond and a good friendship with me. That, for me, I had friends at school, but my friends, my group, my safe place was at my church. That is why I am so big and passionate on youth group. That is the safest. Listen, if you think your kids are struggling, get them here. This is the safest place that they can be at, where they're going to learn, they're going to find those good, healthy, godly relationships. That was free, no charge. And so, Jeremy, I had Chad, I had Josh, Jason and Josh and Sally and Vicky. I had good friends around me. Till I met Julie. Julie, and this is probably going to make you chuckle, but it's okay. Julie was one of the managers at McDonald's. And McDonald's was a place that we always visited after we played basketball at church. We'd always go there. She was much older than I was. I think it was the summer of my 18th birthday. I was getting ready to graduate high school and go to college, and she was 23. And for me, that was a big deal. A 23-year-old woman coming after me. Yeah. I was feeling pretty good. My ego was out the door. And the problem was, she was not a churchgoer. She didn't believe the way that I believed, but it didn't matter to me because she was smoking hot. And as an 18-year-old boy, having a smoking hot 23-year-old come after him, that was pretty cool. And the problem was, it created a division between me and my mama. My mama could see things that were taking place that I could not, because I was totally blinded. And I was allowing this unhealthy relationship to form. We never went on a date. We never actually even did anything. We never got to go out because mom. And mom already knows. She's not here this morning. She was in the first service. I already warned her that I was going to talk about her today, so it's okay. So this relationship is beginning to form. I'd frequent McDonald's to go see her, and she would call, and I would call, and we'd spend all hours of the night talking, blah, 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 blah. Well, she called the house one night, and I didn't get to the phone fast enough. And mama answered the phone. And mom said, "Who's this?" And she said, "Julie, who's this?" And she said, "This is Alan's mom." Basically, long story short, I'll save some words to where you don't have to hear them. Mom said, "Don't call back. Leave Alan alone. See you later." And she hung up. Ticked me off. Infuriated me. I'm like, "Who do you think you are? This is my opportunity. She's a nice girl. You don't know anything about her," blah, blah, blah. All these things that we spit out when we're in love. My mom and I had lots of fights over that one. In fact, I ignored her for quite a while until I wised up and realized that she was right. See, I learned things about Julie later that I didn't know about. Mom didn't know about, but it was that weird mother intuition thing that I don't get. Mom's right? Yes. And what my mom didn't know, in fact, she found out this morning, was it helped me moving forward, especially going into college, to realize that sometimes on the surface, relationships aren't what you think they are. That people aren't who they say they are all the time. And it caused me to be able to take a step back and evaluate what was going on and what I see and make a better choice. So in the moment, I was angry that mom was getting in there and using her authority to dismantle unhealthy relationships that I thought might be healthy, but she knew better. And so the cool part about all that is it put me in a better spot to be able to look at relationships differently and to be able to have healthy relationships apart from unhealthy relationships. And what we're sharing here today is this. Scripture teaches us that there are people out there that are unhealthy for you to be around. Now, I am very clear that Scripture teaches that we should be in the world, but not of the world, right? You got to be in it. You have to live in it. But you don't have to take part in all the things. You don't have to be a part of everything that's going on. You don't have to think the way they think and go to the places that they go to and do the things that they go and do. But we have to be a part of it. Here's what we're suggesting. Scripture says very clearly, find those that are unholy and ungodly and avoid them. And replace them with good, godly relationships. You see, the verse behind me is the start of our passage in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. The psalmist starts out very clearly right off the bat. Blessed is the man. Now, I would guarantee you that if I were to ask you this morning who wants to be happy, most of you are going to raise your hand. Because we all want to be happy. We all want to have that feeling of happiness and contentment and true inner joy. And the psalmist starts out, blessed is the man. And here's what it means. If you want to be happy, if you want to be in that place where you have that inner joy, that inner peace, that inner contentment, then what you're getting ready to read is the secret to that. Now, we all like to know, right? We all like to read the directions and figure things out and do it exactly as it says. The problem is we just don't do that. We talk a good game, but when it comes down to it, if it causes us to choose from what we're comfortable with, what we've always done, and have to change from that to something new, fresh, and real, we don't want to do that. So here's the trick. I'm going to give you, based on what God says in His Word, of how to do it and what to avoid and how to do the right thing. Guess whose responsibility is it to do it from there? Yours. So you can take this message and you can do whatever you want with it. My challenge to you is do something with it. Sit on it. Think about it. Adopt it. Make the necessary changes. So let's see what Scripture has to say. So it starts out, blessed is the man. The very first thing that it says is, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you want to be happy, if you really want to have that inner peace and joy, it says that we should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And counsel is nothing more than advice, suggestions, tips. And the best place to get the tips of how to live life is in the grocery line, right? Because they have all the tabloids right there and they tell you how to live and how to do all the right things and how to lose 20 pounds in 20 minutes, right? All these crazy scenarios and these weird suggestions of how to make your life perfect and happy. And so to me, when it talks about don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, it's talking about don't even listen to the advice. Don't get over here and listen to the things that they're trying to tell you how to live. Because when you walk in that counsel, now you're giving ear to them. You're at least entertaining what they want you to hear. And the problem with that is the more that you entertain it, the more that you listen to it, the more that you heed to it, it's going to be more real to you, and it's going to push you in the direction that you won't want to go. And so the psalmist really quickly says, listen, if you want to be happy, avoid walking in this counsel. Stay away from it. Don't listen to it. Don't even entertain it. Now, I have to admit, it's funny to me sometimes to read those things. But truthfully, I shouldn't even read them because that's entertaining it. It's putting little seeds in my mind. It's giving me the opportunity to later on bring that back up and expound on it. Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, come on, Alan, that's really tedious. We're talking about your spiritual well-being here. It's never tedious. These little seeds will grow and create things in you that you don't need, want, or even need to experience. So yeah, I'm going to pick on the little stuff. I'm going to hit it all. Because there are things that we watch on TV that are just plopping advice in. It's not just for entertainment, folks. There is an agenda out there. And if you think that there's not an agenda out there, then you are sorely confused. They have an agenda. And they want to get into your mind and in your heart to cause you to walk differently than what Scripture teaches us to walk. So it says very clearly, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And the ungodly is simply the culture of our day. Let's be honest and real. There is nothing in a culture of our day, the way that the world operates, the way that Hollywood pushes, it's not healthy for us. There's nothing healthy for us. The only thing that's really good about it is it should cause you to analyze and think clearly based on what Scripture teaches us. That's the only positive that I can come up with. So not only is blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but then it goes and says, nor stands in the path of sinners. Now here's what it's not saying. It doesn't mean that you stand in the path of sinners with both hands up saying, stop, don't go any further. That's not what it's saying. What it's talking about is you have gone from walking over here, kind of walking around, just hearing what they're saying, and now you've kind of turned and you've started walking with them. So now it's not just thoughts that you're hearing, it's thoughts that you're creating based on what you've heard. You are now standing with them. You're moving in the direction that they want you to go. They have included you, and now you're standing with them. And you're not standing there to distract them, but you're standing there because you're curious. You want to know what's going on. You've heard all these things over here, and it seemed interesting to you, so you wanted to take that next little part of the journey. I'm not going to get too close. I'm going to stay way over here, but I just kind of want to see what they're doing. I just want to see what they're doing. Nothing wrong with that. I just want to see. I just want to know. I just want to know what I shouldn't be doing. Right? That's how we spiritualize it. I want to know to where I can teach my kids what they shouldn't be doing. So I'm going to see. I'm going to experience it. I'm going to try it. But then I can teach my kids. No. Teach them what they're supposed to be doing to where you don't have to worry about what they're not supposed to be doing. Big difference. And so now we've gone from walking and just listening. Now we're kind of over here standing because we're curious and we want to see what's going on. But then it goes further. It says, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now we have gone from these little tidbits of thoughts that we read or heard, and we thought, well, that's kind of interesting, so I'm going to move over here. I'm going to stand over here, not too close, but close enough to where I can hear, where I can see, maybe taste and feel, just to get an idea because I'm curious about what this is all about. And the problem is, even though it says you're standing in the way of the sinner, it really means that you're moving closer to actually sitting down and taking part. Because not only now are you standing, but now you're sitting the way that the scoffers sit. And these are people that are against holy living. People that are holding contempt in regards to religion. Listen, you think about all the TV shows that are on TV today. You find one good, wholesome one that has nothing bad to say about church, God, or righteous living. Good luck. Now, it would be easy for me to preach against TV today, and you can take that for what it's worth. My suggestion to you is be wise in what you watch. I was talking with a friend of mine earlier, and he brought up the idea of, listen, when it talks about sitting in the seat of the scornful, when we sit and watch TV, guess what we're doing? There are people on TV mocking the very God that you love, mocking the very way that you live, and we're sitting there entertaining ourselves and laughing at them, laughing at us. And I told him, I said, I really don't want to say that because that's what I do. I go home, I'm tired, I just want to veg out. Kids are down, it's just me and Sally, it's nice and quiet, the dog's not being dumb. We can just sit there and we can watch TV and just kind of decompress for a while. But the problem is, even though I know in my mind I'm intentionally just trying to rest, I'm walking over here. And I'm allowing all these thoughts to pervade my mind and all these insights of what the world is like. And then I begin to walk closer, and now I'm sitting there allowing them to berate me. And we can go with music, we can go with movies, we can go with whatever you want. And I'm not asking us to be turtles. Because the only way to completely exclude ourselves from all the sinful ways of the world is to be a turtle. Be a hermit. Go find a cave and go live. What we are asking you is, be wise. Be smart. If it offends you, if it bothers you, if you know it's not right, then don't do it. I have a famous saying that it's not famous, it's famous to me because I always said it to my teenagers. It's not famous to you because you don't even know what it is. But my favorite phrase to the teenagers when I would work with them is this: when in doubt, don't. If you have a question about it, then don't do it till you know for sure. When in doubt, don't. What a great motto we should live by. And so now we're sitting in the seat of the scornful. You know what? Proverbs, Solomon talks about it this way. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, it says this: my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Solomon says, look, people are going to come to you and say, look, come do this with us. Yeah, we're going to do this and this and this and this, but look what you're going to get from it. And all of these things that they ask you to do, you know deep down in your heart of hearts, it's not where you need to be. Maybe they're okay doing it, but you yourself, as a spiritual being in God, as a created being, and someone who loves God with all of your heart, that is not where you need to go. But the problem is, we will tolerate these things because of what we get out of it. And that's what he's saying. He's like, they're going to come talk to you, and they're going to sell you on what they're going to do, but then they're going to sell even bigger what you get from it. And the problem is, our greedy little selfish hearts that exist in all of us loves this over here and will tolerate and just go through the motions over here. That's a problem. And Solomon said, look, that's what's going to happen. And you know as well as I do, the relationships that you have, there are people in your life right now that do that. Maybe it just starts with little hints of what might come later. Maybe they might not hit you up. But once they feel you moving in that direction and start asking questions and getting a little more curious, then they're going to push hard and say, look, come on, just come do it because here's what's going to happen in the end. And then we sit down. Watch what else Solomon says. My son, don't walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Basically, they'll destroy themselves. And if you follow in that path with people that aren't living godly lives, with people that are out there to get their own, they don't care about you. They could care less. The more that they can bring with them, the better off they're going to feel about themselves. You're just a pawn in the little game that they're playing. And Scripture teaches us that if you go along with it, you will end up sitting in the seat of the scornful, and your life will be ruined. So here's what unhealthy relationships look like. If we look back like at the Psalms 1 passage, in verse 1, it talks about walking. It's taking us along. It's dragging us along. It's bringing us kind of into this mode of, here's what we're going to do. And then the next spot you find yourself, you're standing there. And it's the curiosity that takes over, and you're intrigued, and you want to know more, but you know it's not the best place to be, but you want to see what it's like, but you know you probably shouldn't, but it can't hurt too much if I'll try it. But no, I know the church would frown on it, but what they don't know won't hurt them. It's the game we play. And that's the standing, but then it ends up that we sit and now we're locked in because we gave in. It's a shame. Here at Townsend Church, what we want to do is we want to encourage you not to do that. Because here's the result when we do that. Each stage leads to the next. Each is simply a step away from God, a step in the wrong direction. Each step will lead you away from true joy and into utter hopelessness and despair. That is not what we want for you. That is not what God wants for you at all. He wants the exact opposite. In fact, let's look at Scripture and see what he says. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, more results is this: the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff where the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If you think about chaff, if you ever worked with grain, it's that the really light stuff. And when the wind blows, what happens? Does it go in one direction? No, man, it's all over the place. And if you will notice the people that are in your life that are unhealthy relations, that you have unhealthy relationships with, you watch their lives. They're here 1 minute, they're here the next minute, they're here the next minute, and then they're over there. And then it talks about they won't stand in judgment. They have no chance for success. When they stand before a holy God, they will not succeed. Doesn't matter how good of a person they were. Doesn't matter how much money they've given to the church. Doesn't matter how much they've served the church. If they are not living a godly life through a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not going to happen. They will not succeed. And then it also talks about sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, here's where it gets tricky, because we are taught all the time, get out there and meet people, try to bring the lost in. And I firmly stand on that. Please go do that. But here's what we're not saying. Don't go be best of friends and get all your advice from them. They don't live the same way that you live. And I know that you guys are probably thinking, well, man, that sounds kind of arrogant and elitist. It's not about that. It's about, I just choose to live life differently than they're going to live. I'm going to live by a code, by the rule book, by the Bible. They're not going to. They're going to live by their own heart. And our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. I can't even know my own heart. So if I'm going to try to live by my own heart, I'm going to get myself in trouble. But when I live by the different code, by the way Scripture teaches me, then I can live life differently. So yes, you should have relationships out of here, but ones that are going to encourage you and challenge you to grow correctly. And where you're going to find that are in believers of Christ. That's where it's at. So our job, our responsibility is to bring people in and live life in such a way that the people that are in our church, and I know that we have believers and probably some unbelievers here today, and that's fine. And this may upset you, and I don't mean to, but here's the thing. If we as believers would live our life correctly the way that we should, unbelievers have three choices when they come to our church. One, they can buy in, change their life, and follow Christ. Two, they can sit here and we want them to be here and be miserable. Or three, they're going to be so miserable they're going to walk out and never come back. My goal, our choice, our hope is that we are living life in such a way that it impacts anybody that walks in that door so much so that they find themselves on their face before a holy God saying, I need you. I want what they want. I want to be different. I want to live life differently. I want to know what they're talking about. I want to understand what they're experiencing. And I want you, God. And that can happen from you. How you live your life. Not just from me and my preaching, but from you. That's where it's going to come from. And that's what this is talking about. And I love the fact that he says, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the ungodly shall perish. So, let's look at the other side. Woo, man, I got to hurry. Psalms 1, again, says, blessed is the man. So if we want to be happy, don't walk, sit, or stand in with the ungodly. Don't do that. But here's what we want you to do. And here's what Scripture says. It says, but his delight, the one that is following God, the guy, the woman that wants to be truly happy, inner peace, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. First thing you see right off the bat is it talks about delight. Now listen, let's be real and honest, because I don't know how to be any other way. There are lots of things in here that I do delight in. There are lots of laws, lots of things that God asked me to do that I'm very okay with, that I get. There are some things that he asked me to do, like following the speed limit, because that's the laws of the land. I have a problem with that. That's hard. That is a struggle for me. And so I have to set aside my worldly things of people say, I just speed, it's just a ticket, it's not a big deal, and say, no. God says, follow the laws of the land, because that's your responsibility as a believer. You don't speed. And again, y'all are probably thinking, oh, that's trivial, Alan. Come on. No, it's not. It's a bad example. I'm living, when I get a ticket, I'm a bad example of what I'm supposed to be doing as a follower. And y'all are probably thinking, oh, that's too harsh. It's not. It's the reality of it. It's where it's at. I'm supposed to delight in the laws of God. I should be happy to say, okay, God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to live my life? And we don't do that enough. we want to say, okay, God, I'm going to live my life, and then every now and again, I'm going to come back to kind of measure up to see if I'm okay. And what we should be doing is say, okay, God, I'm going to see what you want me to do, and then I'm going to go try it and live it up, and then let me rephrase that. You're not going to live it up. I'm going to try what you want me to do. I'm going to go live that out, and then I'm going to come back to see what else you have for me. And we get it backwards. We get it messed up. But it should be. We run to this. We get excited. It's genuine joy and happiness in the laws of God. And then here's the next one. This is a tough one for us. Because when we come in on Sunday morning, we hear the sermon, we hear the music, we feel good, it feels great, we like it, and we leave, and then it's done. And you're just waiting for next Sunday. What if not only do we get excited about God and how we are to live, but we meditate on it? What if we, through the week, took portions of the sermon or portions of a Bible study that you're in or portions of a quiet time, and you just think about it? You meditate on it. You let it run through your brain for a while. Listen, we all have dead time somewhere during the day that we could spend some time thinking about God. Think about his laws. Think about how great he is. Think about the Bible stories. But think on it. Meditate. Let it marinate in your brain and try to pick out what you can. It's an amazing thing. Consider it. Contemplate it. Mutter it. Speak it. People may think you're talking to yourself, but that's okay. I have the best conversations with myself. I'd like to think I'm always right, but not always. Meditate on it. You know, I was talking with my friend earlier, and we were talking about the whole TV thing. What does that say? It says meditates day and night, right? In the verse, meditates day and night. What do you do when you go home, when you're tired and you're done? What did I do? Sit and watch TV. That's at the nighttime, right? And so instead of meditating on the laws of God or what he's trying to teach me that day, I'd rather sit in the seat of the scornful. Ooh. That one hurt a little bit, didn't it? That's tough, man. Watching TV in and of itself is not bad. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we have to be very wise in what we're doing with it. And if it supersedes our time with the Lord, then maybe it is a problem. And I'm not talking about you got to read 30 minutes each day and only pray 15 minutes three times a day and make sure you're doing this and that. That's not what I'm talking about. Meditation is an all-day thing that you can do whenever you want. Whenever you want to do it. Find the time to work through this stuff, to figure it out. Psalms 1:3, when we do this, here's a great result. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen a tree by a river? Do they look kind of weak? No, not normally. No, this tree has the strongest roots you could ever imagine because they go deep. Now, I know some trees you see by the river, they've got those exposed roots. That's just the type of tree it is. But most trees have those roots that go really deep to find that water source. And when they tap into that water source, they become the most vibrant, beautiful, humongous trees that you can find. And folks, when you delight yourself in God's law and you think about it, like you actually spend time, brain energy, mulling over what we talked about on Sunday or what you heard or what you read. The Bible tells us that when we do those two things, just two, we avoid the ungodly, we don't walk, stand, or sit with them, and we delight ourselves in his law, and we think about it day in and day out, then our spiritual roots will grow deep in him. And the beautifulness of who he is will just blossom out of us. And the fruit of his existence in us will be very evident. And we will be as a tree planted by the rivers of the water. It's amazing. And let me tell you, I would much rather have that than to not prosper for God. Because if I walk, stand, or sit with the ungodly, I will not prosper. Ever. It's not what I want. I'm not interested in that. I want to be the tree. I want to be pretty. I want to be fruitful. Not for me, but for him. That's what I want. So here's our result. In our relationship with God, as we seek Him, our roots will grow deep. We will be vibrant and healthy, produce great fruit, which is evidence of His presence. This, of course, is seasonal. It's seasonal. There's a time for growth. There's a time for rest. And there's a time to be used. So many times we think that, man, you got to be all the way on all the time. And yes, as a believer, you have to be a believer all the time. But you're not always going to be on point with everything. There's a time where you got to pull it back. Listen, I know for me, there are times where I have to pull back. I got to take a break. Whether that means I don't come to work, whether that means I take a Sunday off, whether that means I go and be alone, just me and God, whatever that means, I know when I need to do that. Because I can tell when I am spiritually dry because I haven't taken the time to do that. And so when I'm spiritually dry, then I can't be the vibrant tree that God wants me to be. His fruit is not evident in me because there's nothing to gain from it. There's nothing to grow it. And so there's times where I got to get back, I got to regroup, I got to refuel up, and I got to get back out there. So there's time to grow, there's time to rest, and then obviously there is a time to make sure the fruit is where it needs to be. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, this verse is a part of our covenant as well, the commitment to join our church. So I just wanted to share it with you today to where you really get where we're going with this. And it says this, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Now, you can't read that verse and assume that it says, hey, guess what? You don't have to ever exercise. That's not what it's saying. It's just saying if you're only doing physical exercise, it's only going to profit you for a little, meaning you're going to get in better shape, may help you a little bit mentally. But here's what Scripture really says. It says if you really want to get down to business, if you want to be emotionally whole, if you want to be spiritually whole, if you want to be physically whole, if you want to be mentally sharp and on point, then Scripture is where it's at. A godly life is where it's at. Because let me tell you something, folks. So many times our problems that we have are so mentally related and emotionally related, and it causes outside things to be what they are. If we can get those things taken care of, then sometimes the outside circumstances kind of take care of themselves. And you know where that comes from? That comes from having a healthy relationship with God. It comes from understanding Him, allowing Him to help you work through the junk that you've gone through in your life. And so it's vitally important for us not only to physically exercise, but to spiritually exercise. In fact, it's more important that we spiritually exercise, because that is going to lead to everything else. We are not to save the world, but we are to live in it. We are not to live as influenced people, but people of influence. We are not to be blown to and fro, but to stand firm as an immovable tree. We are not to live as shallow people, but as deeply rooted followers of God. And we are not to seek after unrighteousness, but righteousness. So this morning, our fifth tenet to joining our church, as long as you have a relationship with God, the last thing we're going to ask you to commit to is this, that I commit to being involved in healthy, God-honoring relationships with other Christian people. Now, for some of you, that's going to bring you to a fork in the road, because you have lots of relationships that are very unhealthy for you, and you know it. But they are lifelong friends. They are partners in crime. They're harmless. They're not that big a deal. Be honest today. If they're not challenging you and encouraging you to live godly, healthy, Christian living, then you need to part ways for a little while. I'm not saying drop them entirely, because you want an opportunity to try to win them. But maybe for a season, to where your tree can go strong and vibrant and produce fruit, you need to take a break and back off and allow God to work in your heart to prepare you to meet their heart. And again, this is not an opportunity for you to break off your marriage relationship, but maybe this is an opportunity for you to fortify and strengthen your marriage relationship. Maybe it is unhealthy. I'm not the judge of that. Only you know. But this is an opportunity for you to find somebody to walk alongside you to help you strengthen that. Maybe your work relationships aren't what they need to be. You know, most of the time when I preach this sermon, some of you may think, well, this is just a teenage sermon. This is for the teenagers to make better choices than the friends they hang out with. No. Listen, some of our adult relationships are worse than teenage relationships. And we need to do a better job of cleaning house, taking stock of what's going on in our spiritual life, and making the necessary changes to be a great follower of God. So you see, this is not just about joining our church. This is a challenge to you as a believer to make sure that the relationships that you have in your life right now are healthy, God-honoring relationships. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me just first say, man, I love speaking to you guys. You guys just eat this stuff up, and I appreciate it. You make it very easy for me, especially when it's tough. So here's my simple question to you this morning. Are you surrounded by ungodly relationships, or are you surrounded by godly relationships? And maybe this morning, even as I was speaking, you already started calling attention in your own mind people that are kind of questionable. Maybe you need to rethink those. And so here's my challenge to you this morning. By simply lifting a hand, would you acknowledge this morning that you need God's help in identifying those relationships that you need to evaluate? So I can pray for you. Would you just lift a hand? I appreciate that. Thank you for your honesty. Any others? Appreciate them. Thank you. It's great. Man, listen, I know it's tough. I appreciate those hands. Thank you. I see those. It's tough, man. It's hard. And just by simply lifting your hand says a whole lot. And the cool part about this whole thing is you've got an aid. You have the Holy Spirit living within you that if you'll just simply follow His lead, He will guide you to the ones that you really need to cut loose, the ones that you can kind of reshape a little bit, and the ones that you really need to form. That's the cool part about this. So this morning, before I pray, anybody else? God, I know this is going to be a struggle for me, but please call my attention. I see that hand. Thank you. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to know. I appreciate that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. God, I love you. I really do. Man, I love watching you just work. It's amazing to me. And God, all of us struggle with unhealthy relationships. We all do. Whether it's with people or with things or with emotions or with memories, man, it's tough. And God, your word is very clear. You call all of us as believers to work hard at making sure that our relationships are where they're supposed to be. God, you don't want us to walk, stand, or sit with the ungodly. But you want us to be a strong, vibrant, fruitful tree that represents your power and your greatness. And Lord, I see the faces as I'm preaching, and God, it's hard for them. Because I know that they like what they hear and they want it. But to make those choices, God, it's hard. I remember and I know every day it's hard. Lord, I thank you and praise you for those that were willing to raise their hands and say, God, help me. Lord, I'm sure you've already called minds and faces to their brain that they are seeing even now. And God, they're a little nervous. They're apprehensive. They don't know how it's going to go. They don't know how they're going to do it. But God, I know that you can help them. I know that that's the type of God that you are and that you want to be. And so I pray that you would do a couple of things. One, continue to give them the vision of those that they need to maybe cut loose, change a little bit, or maybe strengthen and fortify. Lord, as they see who they are, give them the confidence to know that they can do this through you. But then thirdly, give them the courage to do it. But then lastly, God, give them replacements. Give them people that they can trust, that they can truly walk with, and that will love them as they are and will challenge them in their walk with you. I thank you for being a good God and a great God, and I thank you that I know when we ask, you hear us, and you will answer as you see fit. And so we lay all of these things at your feet because you are the God of the ages. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we finish up with worship, let me give you a quick lowdown of next week. So many of you are already members, so here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to have two different sections set up. Some of it may be in here, some of it may be out in the foyer. We haven't quite decided that yet. But there will be a member section, And that will be just you will go and sign the new covenant, because some of you have never signed it. Whether you've signed it yet or not, we still want you to re-sign it, because on the back, there's information that we can put in our new database to have an accurate record of who our members are, where you live, when your birthday is, and what your Social Security number. I'm just kidding. How much credit card debt you have, what you make. I'm just kidding. We don't care about all that. But that helps us, all right? So that will be you. There'll be two forms that you'll sign. One will be the main form, and then one you will also sign to take home that you can keep to remind yourself of what you've signed. There will also be certain people there with you to sign along to remind you, look, I signed with this person. Then we'll also have the non-member side. These are for those that have been attending here for a long time, have been asking about membership, that have listened to the sermon series, that have asked all their questions and have a relationship with Jesus Christ and have been fully immersed in baptism, this will be your day. You will have the same two sheets, the same information, the same opportunity. And then through the year, my goal is for us to sit down somewhere and just have a good conversation. One, so I can get to know you, and two, so you can get to know me. Because that's what we want to do. This is a family, and I want to know who's in my family, and I want you to know me. So that's what's going to happen next Sunday. So what I would ask for you this week, be praying about it. Don't take this lightly. Don't take it as, it's just membership. This is membership. This is a big deal. We want you to be a part of our family, but we want you to live correctly based on Scripture. So be praying about that. Would you stand with us now as we conclude with worship?
This time of desperation.